Time flies when you're having fun, or even when you're serving as the chief executive of a state that's struggling. Struggling to overcome generations of poor health habits and the scourge of addictions. Struggling to deal with deeply entrenched suspicions about government and the value of shared responsibility. And struggling to become a player in a 21st century global economy driven by technology without abandoning its roots in agriculture and traditional manufacturing. Oh, and don't forget, chief executive of a state struggling to recover from the worst pandemic of our time. Now, since becoming Indiana's 51st governor 7 very short years ago, Eric Holcomb has proved that those two things, that is having fun and meeting high-stakes challenges, aren't necessarily mutually exclusive. This week, we sit down for our annual conversation with the governor, Eric Holcomb. It's Indiana lawmakers from the State House to your house. And we are here with Governor Eric Holcomb. Thank you for taking time out. This is a tradition that extends back even, well, before either one of us were in our current position. So thank you for keeping that tradition alive.
Happy to keep the streak alive.
Well, now, in the introduction for the show, I talked about you being a happy warrior. And I'm not the only one who has that assessment. I'm reminded of Governing Magazine a few years back said of you, this is a guy who doesn't scream, doesn't threaten, doesn't even complain. He just wins. Take me behind the curtains or inside your noggin. I mean, does your cat cower when you come home? Do you have
no.
legislative voodoo dolls that you take out of your wedding? I mean, what? How do you do this? Is this strategic?
No, I think it's just ingrained. It's personality by now. Maybe how I was raised and how I seek to respect others and hope I earn their respect. So it's nothing will change on that front, no matter how hot it gets in the kitchen. A leader needs to keep their cool and keep their eye on the prize or understand what their purpose is, why they are doing this, and then hire a lot of good people around you to carry out the plan of the day and hopefully carry it out smartly.
Of course, I don't need to tell you that one reason that kind of approach stands out is that it doesn't seem to be in fashion these days. You know, a lot of people, both sides of the aisle, but notably the standard bearer for your party, has been somebody who's championed fear and condemnation and anger as motivating tools. Mm-hmm. Assess that.
Yeah, maybe it's proof that either to each their own or both could be successful. This is just who I am. My wife and I said when we first set sail that we weren't going to change who we were and we weren't going to allow the job to change who we were. And if that were to be the case, if we assessed that that had a chance of doing so, then we just wouldn't do it. We'd find something else that was consistent with who we were at the core. And so what I'm most proud of is we can look at a record and we can say, this is what we have done. And are we perfect? No. Do we need to make improvements? Yes. That's our whole mentality around here. The next level is not to boast about records. It's to keep trying to do better. And if we're ranked number one in some category, how do we defend that title? And that means you got to improve because 49 other states are looking at what we're doing, just like I'm looking at what they're doing, and trying to get to that pole position. And then you got to defend it. And so this is just consistent with having a head and a heart for public service. Others have proven there's different approaches, but I would defend our record against anyone else's, whether it's a mayor or a governor or a legislature or a president, you know, different branches, different levels. We've got a record that we can all be proud of.
And you're a student of history. Anybody who knows you can attest to that. You have a collection of presidential signatures. I think you have every president.
I'm a geek, is what I am.
A geek. I guess you're the only person I know who had his bachelor party at Abraham Lincoln's museum and library.
It wasn't boring for me.
How bad is our situation right now in terms of the tenor of discussion, in terms of the disconnect between the electorate and the people who they ostensibly choose to go represent them? It just seems that gridlock is putting it nicely.
Yeah. And we're not alone. When I look around the world, there's other cases of dysfunction, of kicking the can down. There's so many good people that seek public service, and then collectively, looks like the training wheels come off. Certainly on the federal front, that dysfunction is kind of front and center, where it's almost as if our government's going to this cash advance store just to try to get to the next paycheck. Well, they're not passing budgets. They're not even getting full appropriation bills. They're getting these stopgap measures that just get you a few weeks or a couple of months. And that's troubling. That's affecting, I think, Americans' outlook in terms of the debt that's amassed, in terms of the deficit spending, in terms of even the lack of respect for a rule of law. That's why immigration cuts to the core, because I think Americans, rightly so, say, why should the rule of law apply to some and not others? So we need to not just talk about these issues that seemingly keep them in business or getting reelected, but actually have a plan to solve them. And then I think you start to become that shining city on a hill again.
So what is the answer? Or is this just we just have to suck it up and live with this? This is the way politics and government is in this millennium.
Well, we don't have to accept it, but I think that we have to, again, first and foremost, address what your purpose is, find people who are passionate about that purpose, organize, have a plan, and then implement and execute. And I think we can do that here in the state of Indiana effectively to become a model. That's what I talked a little bit about at the State of the State address this, you know, a couple Tuesdays ago. Was the Indiana model, and show that there's Exhibit A, could be our federal government, it could be a lot of other national governments, could be some other states, and then there's B, the state of Indiana, the Indiana model. It works, and then hopefully people are able to judge and say, well, how come they can pay down debt? How come they can grow their GDP? How come they can maintain a AAA credit rating? How can they, Indiana, continue to attract population? And we can't. And that's good pressure, I believe.
Would our state, would our nation be served, say, by a return to Donald Trump? I mean, again, he's the standard bearer of your party. You actually endorsed Mike Pence, whom you had more than a passing relationship with. Largely you're in this chair.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He dropped out. So can this country, given what you just said, return to sort of the flash and burn?
Absolutely, yes. The country is strong. Because of our people, and we will endure. The question in my mind is, who has the plans to, forgive me, take our nation to the next level? What are the specific plans to address our entitlement programs as an example? That's the elephant in the room. And until you get serious about that, addressing that, then to me, your motives are out of focus.
And who is that, if I may ask? You endorsed Mike Pence. He's out.
To be determined. And there's time, and it will come into focus in terms of talking about our economy, how our economy is doing nationally speaking, in terms of immigration policy. All these things will factor in, and we'll see. And we'll see even if Indiana matters at that point. It seems to look inevitable that it's going to be a rematch, and certainly the way that former President Trump has almost carved up the competition like a holiday ham.
You have an unusual perspective in that you've spent 8 years in office, the first four with Donald Trump, a Republican, and happened to have a vice president from the state, who hailed from the state, and then Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. How has your life as the state of Indiana, as an administration, as an entity that strives always to grow, changed under those two administrations?
I think we've been consistent, but this is something that I took a deep breath before I answered, because almost a sigh of relief, in the sense that we have kept our eye on the Indiana ball, and we have certainly shared our disagreements with both administrations. And we have certainly given credit to both administrations when they have sought to help our state. And that's the kind of guy I'm going to continue to be, is someone who's not so short-sighted to say, I can't talk to someone. Because I'm in this for all of Indiana, far beyond my presence or me occupying this chair behind that desk. I have to think long-term, and I have to think about microelectronics hubs and hydrogen hubs and biotech hubs, and what's our road funding, formula? What are we going to, how are we going to interface, not just through a global pandemic, but for the next 10 years. And that is important to whoever follows me, just as it is for me.
40 years ago, I'm going to take you back here. You were probably precocious, lanky high schooler here in the northwest side of Indianapolis at Pike High School.
Yep.
Was this ever in the cards
No.
as you walked down the hall trying to open your locker? What?
No.
What was the goal there?
Well, there wasn't that goal. The goal was probably to go on to college and figure it out from there. It's kind of a joke in my family is I'll figure it out. And it's kind of in five-year increments. And after college, I joined the Navy. And best decision I think I've ever made in my life. And that really got me organized and flying straight and focused, committed. I knew that I liked service one way or another. And you know, you just reassess where you're at, where you can be most effective, and where you can have, I hope if you're in public service, you got the head and the heart for it, but where you can have the most positive impact. And one thing led to another, and my wife and I discussed it, and here I sit with you again.
And it was, you did a lot in between, certainly
sure.
A congressional aide, you were state party chair.
Yep.
Heck, you were a panelist on Indiana Week in Review. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, right?
Yep.
That's
that
what
was
made
the pinnacle.
You what you are today.
That was the pinnacle. Yeah.
That was the pinnacle, but we'll maybe, who knows, maybe get you back there at some point. But so now let me flip the question. What would you tell your 18-year-old or your, I guess that would have been more like a 15-year-old self looking back? What advice?
Never lose sight of, and again, maybe how I was raised, but never lose sight of who you are. And not just to choose and chase your passion, but to understand what your purpose is. And I think if you have that established, the why you're doing what you're doing, then the sky's the limit if you're willing to work for it. I mean, I was a few days ago with two young men, high school students from Merrillville and Hammond, Indiana. They go to the 21st Century School. They have their bachelor's degree today. They haven't graduated from high school yet.
You're making me feel very inadequate. Thank you.
I'm right there with you. And because I wasn't thinking about that as a goal to get my bachelor's degree before I walked across the high school stage. But that shows you there are so many pathways. Now, what are we doing here at the state to light those pathways for more people that choose to put the time in?
And you've done a lot objectively, you've done a lot as governor. I mean, a lot of things that people didn't think necessarily could happen. I mean,
right.
Historic funding increases for K through 12 education. You even got rid of textbook rental fees. You know, that was, who would have thought that dragon could have been slain?
Yeah.
Hate crime or bias crime legislation, which we were one of the stragglers in that regard. Go right down the road, et cetera.
I thought you were going to say Sunday sales. I thought you were going
well,
to.
Well, what am I, typecast here?
No,
Sunday
no,
sales. Now, asking you to pick your greatest accomplishment is like asking you to pick your favorite Indiana-based basketball team, but let's give it a shot. What are you proudest of?
The team, and that's a generic or a generalization, but I am most proud of the team and all of their areas of expertise.
More so than any particular legacy accomplishment.
Yeah, absolutely, because you know, you could easily say, and there were skeptics on multiple fronts. You mentioned the health reform or Health First Indiana program initiative. That was a big deal, but there were other agencies and departments working on big deals as well in terms of creating more career opportunities for people with higher wages. Our workforce development, Department of Workforce Development, they're creating more pathways now for people to take three jobs and make it into one and get paid $70,000 a year. And so these are highly impactful. What our DNR has done over the last, you know, just in my time and before that, but in my time.
In terms of land acquisition, in terms of trails, et cetera.
Trails, and there were skeptics on that too. And now we find ourselves in serious dollars going into placemaking. Ready, now 2.0. Another $250 million on top of the $500 from the Lilly Endowment. There are...
Of course, you do have skeptics there, though, in terms of transparency. We have the whole water reuse issue in terms of the aquifer coming from below the Wabash River down to the LEAP project in Boone County. But you're saying be patient, stick with us.
I think anytime you do things that are big, you're going to have some growing pains, and I get that. And I get, by the way, you're never going to have 100% of agreement on anything. There are folks in the same professions that say we shouldn't sell any of our rural property. And there are some folks that say we need to have more industry. So inside of the interest groups, there is disagreement. What we have to do is figure out how are we going to turn brain drain into brain gain? What specific jobs are we going to go after? And then it's a process of working with local stakeholders, which we continue to do, and we continue to be transparent when we have the information. And so it will require some patience. But I do understand, by the way, I've been there. I look at this through a local lens. I will be a citizen again. I was before, a lot longer than I'll be in this position. And so I understand when you don't have the information yet, it can be unnerving, and you can be skeptical, but we're going to handle this the right way.
And as you look back, again, we'll stipulate you're a basketball player. That's your passion, not a golfer. I don't even know what your handicap is. But let's say, we'll choose a golf term, mulligan. What's your mulligan if you could have a do-over over the past 7 years?
I'm not wired that way to say, let me try again. But I would just constructive criticism of my own past, I would say you can always communicate more on the ground. It can be endless, but I can always do more. And you have to make time, you have to get me on the road, you have to make sure that we're sharing all the information as fast as you can. We are, on the other hand, keeping really busy. We are crushing records. The GDP number speaks for itself. When you stop and think, over 7 years, you've added $150 billion with a B to our GDP. That comes with committed capital investment and then ultimately turns into GDP. And that means you have more opportunity for people to get into good careers. And like I said, we're at an all-time high wage level for jobs that we're attracting through the Indiana Economic Development Corporation. So the proof is always in the pudding, but you have to not just share your successes, you have to share throughout the whole process.
Well, and one to that point, one part of your legacy, like it or not, is going to be COVID.
Yeah.
You have, for better or for worse, were there on the top job when it rolled in.
Sure. Yeah.
Unprecedented situation. It strained your relationship with the General Assembly.
Sure.
You ended up in court fighting over powers, emergency
sure.
powers.
Yeah.
Some of the people you've appointed, probably you in sending a message to you or some perception of a shot across the bow, have been rejected. I would argue that your public health initiative, which ultimately passed, maybe not to the degree that you'd hoped, was delayed because of this notion that it's, let's call it the long effects of long-haul COVID. I mean, do you ever wonder what your tenure would have been if you hadn't had COVID come along?
Oh, there would have been challenges that would have come our way, not necessarily of the magnitude of a global pandemic that strained everyone's patience. You talk about not knowing. The whole nation, the whole world was getting conflicting information on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. But I would look at this differently than you've articulated. And I would say maybe we're not able to get a healthcare reform package through without COVID. It really helped us not only be more aware beyond the dismal rankings, but it created relationships and partnerships that were on the ground in zip codes on a daily basis. People became reliant on one another. And then in turn, those folks were able to share real data with their legislators. And I would say it exceeded our expectations. You might be referring to the dollar amount ultimately in the first 2 years, but I would say 86 out of 92 counties. At the beginning of that conversation, I heard dead on arrival. It ain't going to fly.
Right.
It's over.
No.
Don't even go there. It got 86 counties. And by the way, the funding, the 75 and the 150 million in the second year, that is helping build this structure. And so you're going to have to build. And I would predict the neighboring counties, the ones that weren't part of it, will say, okay, this was an opt-in.
And that's part of this, that you can either go in or out. And I'm guessing part of your mission in the remaining months will be to say, hey, these six counties that are now outliers, there's maybe something.
Yeah, and we still want to be your partner.
I promise we'd look forward now that we've looked back a little bit. Technically, you're a lame duck, but I've never seen a lame duck who's 6'5" and wears cowboy boots. Yeah. Maybe it's somewhere. Yeah. Does it motivate you to, I mean, some people might say, okay, I'm taking my ball and go home. Others might say, this just means I got to do everything I need to do in a compressed amount of time. What, tell me your thinking on that.
I have a to-do list. I mean, I feel like a, you know, a foreman on a construction site. We got a lot to build, people and places, and make sure they have the resources to determine their own destiny. And the good news is we're building. And so my to-do list is very small font and multiple pages, and that's what motivates me to get it done. And then to have a kind of a flight path in the years after me, maybe it helps the next person execute and implement, but also it keeps that continuity and that certainty for the rest of the world to know they're going to have 5 years of building out their broadband internet plan ahead. And so I got to make sure we land that $868 million and get it federally approved, that application, which it will. But, you know, tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. And I want to make sure it's on my watch. So Indiana continues to full steam ahead.
And you still have an agenda even this session. I mean, we're
absolutely
talking about the one stop to start, you know, basically the notion that if you're going to start your life, there's
right.
one stop to,
yep.
to go get it. I mean, how important is
yeah,
that to
it's,
you?
It's extremely important, because I think that goes to right at the core, back to the kind of the nation's psyche, people who feel like, is the American dream really in reach? And when I come back and I talk about another $3.2 billion of capital investment, what does that mean to someone that I run into in line at some retail store or at the grocery store? What does it really mean? Does it connect with them? And so the state of Indiana has to be somewhat of a concierge to make sure that we don't just have all these resources on a piece of paper or some website, but they're actually connecting with people, because it does work. You can get your bachelor's degree while you're in high school, or you can go back and get your high school diploma. It is unsatisfactory that we have over 400,000 Hoosier adults without the equivalent of a high school diploma. It's holding them back. If you cannot read at a third grade level in the third grade, it's going to become harder to learn when you're in sixth, eighth, senior year in high school. And I want to set people up for success, not failure. It will cost us a lot more to try to improve later if we're not investing now. So that's what most of this agenda for this year really hinges on: helping students succeed early in the process and even later in life, getting back into the workforce. So I'll judge myself on labor participation rate. What are the wage levels? How many people are we pulling off the sideline? And that has to do with child care and early learning centers and helping parents who can do math and say, it's cheaper for me to stay home. I'd like to see them, and maybe they'd like to get back in the workforce, but they do the math. So how do we address that expense? Fortunately for a state like Indiana, where our economy is growing, we can afford to make those things priorities. And I want to make sure that I want to put 2 feet on the pedal, not just my foot on the pedal.
Well, and there's no shortage of individuals who want to succeed you. On the Republican side, we have at least, what, 6?
That's a compliment.
It is, I suppose, a compliment. But if Ronald Reagan is watching as a student of politics of this gubernatorial primary, he's probably spinning in his grave, because
right.
this is famously don't speak ill of other Republicans, yep. and this is already, we've gotten a taste of just how contentious it will be.
Yeah.
And part of that means attacking, by definition, what exists.
Yeah.
Are you worried about your legacy and
no.
the dismantling, perhaps, of as 6 people vie to get the upper hand?
No, I've got broad shoulders, and I'm very comfortable in my own skin. It may be as thick as a rhinoceros, but we're focused on doing good, and history will judge the rest. And I can hold my chin up high, and I tell every agency head, every state employee that I thank them that they have an interest in continuing to serve, and we're doing good stuff. I'm proud of them.
When can we expect an endorsement in that race, or might there not be one?
There might not be one, but I'll be looking at just what we've been talking about. Who's going to endorse the plans that best what we've been doing? I'm not too proud to. I'm hoping that someone does better than I did. I'm hoping that someone crushes my records or our records. And so I want to hear about who's going to continue the broadband internet, who's going to continue to make college more affordable, who's going to continue to invest in place making so that the cultural amenities and the vibrancy of local communities, no matter how big or small they are magnetic.
Governor, we had solicited questions from viewers and listeners, and Robbie from Lawrence County had a question. He likes what you've done with Rails to Trails. That's been a priority of yours. But now he lives there, and he says, for instance, Crane Naval Base, one of the rail lines that used to serve it now is a trail. And he's concerned that is the prioritization of Rails to Trails somehow hurting the rail industry and the spoke system that sort of built the Indiana's economy, you know, for more sure. than a century.
Yeah, cross rails of America and crossroads.
I mean, can the two
We would never jeopardize national security. And the trail that we have, it's actually our longest trail in the state of Indiana from New Albany to Mitchell, Indiana. It's 62.3 miles long, is an abandoned rail line. And so these are contractual negotiations between us and a company. We would never for one second contemplate interfering with our national security. Crane Naval Warfare Center is not just a gem in our crown. It's actually happens to be the third latest naval installation in America.
And spoken it's with pride by a former Navy guy,
of course. And it's landlocked. And so, no, nothing is jeopardizing national security when it comes to the trails around Crane or Muscatatuck or Camp Atterbury or Grissom or Fort Wayne or Terre Haute or any of our wings. But trails are very important. One of the common denominators, and maybe why Robbie likes them, and certainly is the reason I do, one of the common denominators for a growing community is outdoor activity access. And trails are a big one that connect dots and stitch it all together.
Or that quality of life.
Absolutely.
This is
paramount. People were choosing where to live before where to work. And trails are a big pathway to a community.
We thank you, and Robbie thanks you for addressing his question.
Hope to see him out on the trail.
Last question, what's next? I mean, feel free to make news and help your old Indiana Week Review compatriot here.
I've thought about running for president of the American Schnauzer Association.
I was waiting for the next shoe to drop there.
Yeah, but I'm going to keep my eye on the ball through what I was elected to serve that time. And so that gets me to January 13th, to be exact. And my calendar runs through and up to January 13th. And then I'm going to better serve my wife for a few weeks or months, and then we'll figure it out.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. But I thank you, Eric Holcomb, Indiana's 51st governor. Appreciate your time. And best of wishes in the remaining months of your tenure as governor.
We're going to run the score up. Thank you.
A generation ago, Hoosiers viewed economic development as an overwhelmingly positive and beneficial endeavor. Now, more and more of the supposed beneficiaries are balking at what they see as questionable goals, regional favoritism, and a lack of transparency in public input. On the next, Indiana Lawmakers. Well, that concludes another edition of Indiana Lawmakers. I'm John Schwanesson, and on behalf of commentator Ed Feigenbaum, WFYI Public Media, and Indiana's other public broadcasting stations, I thank you for joining us, and I invite you to visit WFYI.org for more State House news. Until next week, take care.